I guess you already put those newsletters on the board that was up here. Oh, is he gone? Anyway, we got a couple newsletters. One from Brother Young and anyway, I can't remember now. Yeah, Brother the Dassos, and continue to remember them in prayer and. You know, I'm thinking that Lord maybe would like to do something. Seems that over the past year, I don't know about y'all, but I see all these signs along the road. Thank you, Jesus. About time we started thanking Him. And I hope that when you see those, first thing that comes to your mind is thank you, Jesus. And start thinking about, those things that where He deserves our thanksgiving. And we start naming our blessings. And just let Him have His way, dear God, in this. Lord, I don't know if we'll ever have a national revival. I don't know if we'll have a countywide revival. I don't even know if we'll even have revival in our church. But there's one thing for certain. You can have revival if you want it. I got thoroughly convinced of that this week. Spending time with the Lord in prayer. I had a blessed time on the way home. I mean, I didn't cut no radios on. I was riding by myself and carrying a load of stuff back home. And I just spent time with the Lord. I mean, I just had a great time just spending time talking with Him and trying to be still and let Him talk with me. And but I hope that some of the things that I really believe I learned some things I already knew and had forgotten. But I want to read you an excerpt. This is a book. I've read this book several times, and I cited because we got this upcoming push for our revival. Now we got one more Sunday in here, and then we're going to meet over here together in the auditorium. All from teenagers up, we're going to meet over there. We're going to have our Sunday school here, and we're going to pray. And I got several things that I want to challenge you with on prayer. One of them is I'm going to ask you. I started a couple weeks ago, and I've been taking our directory and going through and praying for every person on the directory every day. But I'm just asking, and it is amazing how God works. Laid on my heart, I want to encourage our people to take five names and for the next 2 months, pray for those five people that God would bless them in a very deep and lasting way. Just for 2 months. Just pray for those five and see what God might do. And that's one of the things we're going to do. Also, I'd like to see us, have a round-the-clock prayer when we get close to the meeting. And I'm asking people to volunteer for it now. I'm putting this out in front of you. Hopefully, you'll think about it. Maybe you'll go ahead and get started right now. And I know most of y'all pray for your church every day. I guess what I'm saying is I did too. But what's the word we want to use? It's found over there in James. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. But it's what? Fervent. Fervent. That word fervent gives you a sense of we got to have it. Yeah. We need it. We need that moving right now. And so, just pray. I got something I want to read to you that I read this past week. This is, I think, one of the things that people, and when they go to prayer, that maybe we're missing. And this is something that
God taught Mr. John Hyde. Now, Mr. Hyde had a wonderful experience to which he owed, I believe, his power with God and therefore with man. He used to speak of it as one of the most direct and solemn lessons God had ever taught him. He was up in the hills resting for a short time. He'd been burdened about the spiritual condition of a certain pastor. And he resolved to spend time in definite intercession for him. Entering into his inner chamber, he began pouring out his heart to his Heavenly Father concerning that brother, somewhat as follows. O God, thou knowest that brother how cold. And God reached down and put his hand over his mouth. And this is what he told him. He said that he got a definite understanding. This is what God had to say to him. He said, how cold, he was going to say, when suddenly a hand seemed to be laid upon his lips, and a voice said to him in stern reproach, he that toucheth him toucheth the apple of mine eye. And a great horror came over him. He had been guilty before God of doing what? He was accusing the brother. Now, whose job is that? That's Satan's job, isn't it? He's the accuser of the brethren. So he was standing in Satan's place doing what Satan does. He was accusing that brother of being something. And he said he had been guilty before God of accusing his brother. He had been judging his brother. He felt rebuked and humbled before God. It was he himself who first needed putting right. He confessed this sin. He claimed the precious blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin. And whatsoever things are lovely, and God had just gave me this verse this past week, reminding me of it. When I first got saved, I put this as part of my everyday, and it is now. And that's one of the, it's the verse that's going on this card. The verse says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And he rebuked him and gave him this verse. Be any praise, think on these things. And then he cried out, Father, show me the things that are lovely and of a good report in my brother's life. And like a flash, he remembered how that brother had given up all for Christ, enduring much suffering from relations whom had given up, whom he had given up. He was reminded of his years of hard work, of the tact which he managed his difficult congregation, of the many quarrels he had healed, and what a model husband he was. One thing after another rose up before him, so all his prayer session was spent in praise for his brother instead of in prayer. He could not recall a single petition, nothing but thanksgiving. God, the Bible said, give thanks for all men, for this is the will of God concerning you.
Amen.
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 Not only do we thank God for them, but it's a fourfold. We thank God for them, and we also thank God in their stead, in their place, that they might receive the blessing, you see. And that's what he learned, in giving thanks to God for him, and for lifting up for the things. See, I was coming in here today, and I was talking about them unruly kids. I told Vaughn, I said, God, give them to us. Amen. This is God's work. Why should we be critical? Why should we not look for the good things that God's doing and praise God for it? Amen.
Amen.
Mark the result also on this brother's life. When Mr. Hyde went down to the plains, he found that just then the brother had received a great spiritual uplift. While he was praising, God was blessing. A wonderful divine law. The law of a father's love. While we bless God for any child of his, he delights to bless that one. Good lesson to learn. While we
pray for this revival. I tell you what, you know what we need? We need a spirit of love.
Lord, start to move on us. That we really love one another. If we got anything at all to get somebody, we need to get that straight now. Amen. We need to fall in love. I'm always reminded how Jesus and Judas came to him in the garden and spoke and said, "Wherefore art thou come, friend?" Well, I'm going to tell you what, he knew who was in him. If he can call the devil friend, who am I not be able to call a brother friend? Why should I have anything off against anybody?
Well, I hope we'll lay that to our thought. We're going to pray for revival. Hey, we're going to have that kind of spirit of love and lifting up to make the difference. All right. We are in Philippians. I got 2 weeks, and I'm going to finish this book by the grace of God. In Philippians chapter 2, we've been there for a good bit, but we're going to finish it today quickly. I'm going through it quickly, so just hang on, and you listen quickly. I'll speak quickly, and we'll get through this. Philippians chapter 2, he said, first thing I like, looking in Philippians 2, look at verse 12. Verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." I wrote beside that, a true ambassador. What we must do to be able to hold out the word of life. He gave us some keys there that if we're going to take and give the word of God to people, some things, some keys that need to be in our lives. Look at what he said about, beginning in verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed," there's got to be some obedience. "Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you to will and do of his good pleasure." Second thing we need to realize, not only the fact that we need to be obedient, and it's because it is God that's working in you. Well, when you get those thoughts, you know what I'm saying? That I ought to do this. You know, I ought to do this. You know what you ought to do? You ought to do this. You know, we need to learn obedience. And realize it is God that's working in you, giving you the will, the desire, the want to. Now, I've heard people say, "Well, you can't get saved when you want to." I'd like to see somebody get saved that didn't want to. Huh? I understand what they're saying, but I'm telling you, ain't nobody going to get saved till they want to.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something, you're not going to do anything for God till you want to. And we're not going to have revival until what? We want to. Amen? We got to have the want to. And it's God that worketh in us the want to. So we got to have that obedience. And it is God that puts it in us, you know, the desire to do these things. So don't put them off. Go ahead and do them. Amen? And you'll be blessed in your obedience. Not only that, to be able to hold out the Word of God, not only that at obedience and realizing that it is God that's working in you. Look at this. Do all things without what? Murmurings and disputings. Amen? I mean, get in other words, learn to shut up. Boy, that's a great lesson I learned this weekend. Just shut up. There were a couple times, you know how it is, you get four or five families together,
It's going to be a little, sometimes it gets a little bit, you know what I mean, huh? Everybody sees things a little bit different. People get up on the wrong side of the bed and all this. You know what God said to me? Shut up! Don't say nothing! If you want to say something, somebody said, come talk with me.
You want to put some fires out? Just learn to be quiet.
And shovel some grace on top of it. Pray down some praise and grace. Get along with God. Keep your mouth shut. Don't be murmuring. Don't get caught up with the complainers. When they start to complain, go pray for them. Now, God will straighten it out. Don't try to do it. Boy, he told me a long time ago with my wife, when we have a difficulty, a problem, or misunderstanding, he said, shut up, go away for a little while, leave her alone. And pray, and let me work this thing out. You know what I always found out? It always worked. Every time. All I had to do was keep my mouth shut. You say, how long do you have to do it? Sometimes for a couple of days. But if I wore that thing to mend, I need to keep my two cents out of it. I would have had to let God work it out. And most of the time, I found out, here's the one that had to make the change, you see.
And I run my house with an iron fist.
But I put my foot down. Yeah. One day you're gonna put it down and you're gonna be the only one there. Amen.
Amen.
Submit yourselves one to another in the love of Christ. Amen. Learn. Learn to just be quiet, be still. Not only if we're gonna We can't do it with murmurings and complainings. We can't do it with disputings. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. There was an account in Brother Hyde's life that I read where these Indians sent a guy, a man in there, he was kind of like they did Jesus, you know, when they come to ask him them questions, they pretended like, oh, they wanted to learn something, they really wanted something to accuse him with. They did the same thing with him. They sent this Hindu guy in there and said he wanted to make inquiry about the things to do with Christianity so they could find things against him. And after a week, he run away. He said, there's nothing, I can't find anything. The man is a god. He's a god. He said, that's what he saw him. To see him and to see the life he lived, it impressed him. He was looking at God, you see. Would that we would be in such a way that nobody can find fault with us. I got a situation right now of a brother who's wounded because of something that somebody done to him. And this ain't the first time. He's been wounded for a long time, and now something else come up. And I want y'all to mark that down and say and pray for him. I'm going to try to get around and talk with him. Try to help this wound. Try to heal this. He's a good friend, a good brother. I led him to the Lord a long time ago. And he got wounded right after he first got saved. Kind of got him away. Got him out of a good church. Well, we should pray about that. God willing, I'm gonna try and pray for him and just reach out to him. I appreciate your prayers about that. We don't need if we're going to take the Word of God out, you can't go out there with a bunch of bad name on our church. You know what I'm saying? So we got to be careful what we say and what we do, that we might be blameless and harmless. The Bible said to be wise as serpents and what? Harmless as doves. They got to see us like a dove cooing. Now we ain't dating. One thing about that, over there at that church, ain't nobody going to hurt you over there. You know? Harmless and blameless. If we're going to take out the Word of God with power. Not only that, he says, look, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain. and neither labored in vain. And we can be sure of this. The Bible said the Word of God shall not return void. It will accomplish what God pleases. But how much better when we are taking the Word of God out and we're right in our hearts and in our motives and in our behavior. We are filled with the Spirit of God. Now ask yourself this morning, did you walk into the house of God knowing that you had the filling, the infilling of the Spirit of God, that you would feel that He had control. He had control of your habits. He had control of your mind, your heart, your desires. Are you filled? Has He taken over your whole conscience? Can you lay aside? Can you lay aside the things that the Holy Spirit tells you to? Are you seeking to find out the things in your life that God wants to remove and receive the things that God wants to put in? How much better when we're in that case, when we're in that position, filled with the Spirit of God. Let Him, and I'm going to tell you something, you know what? You want to be filled with the Spirit of God. This is it. This. Jesus said, the words that I speak into you, they are spirit. They are life. Will you take these things and put them in there? The Bible says, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. You know what? I mean, I found out, well, after spending a week with God and praying and everything, there ain't nothing to watch on television.
Amen.
I mean, nothing. I am able to look around, browse, and find a few recorded programs that are Christian-based that I can get something from. I watched the thing yesterday on Genesis. Is it history? They said yes. Had some good evidence of that too. Some Christians that were scientists that had a lot of understanding of geology and things. It was an interesting program. Helpful. But not only that, hey, when you get that feeling and the Word of God is in you, boy, it points out the things we need to change in our life and the things we need to put in our lives. And that's what I want to emphasize, is the putting in. Put on love. Put on joy. Put on peace. Put on long-suffering. Put on mercies and kindnesses. But you know, you put on all these good things, you know what happens? You ain't got no room for the bad things.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Add all the good. Just concentrate on the good and adding the good in. Fill your heart with love. You ain't going to find no room for no dirt. Love will sweep it clean. Amen. Love of Christ, the Bible says, boy, I mean, nothing can stand before the love of God. It's the power that destroys all the work of the devil. It's the love of God that put Christ on the cross. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But it wasn't the nails that held Him there. It was the love of God that held Him there on that cross. It wasn't the soldiers that took His life. He gave it because of His love. Fill yourselves with these things. Next, turn over here. Look down here at verses 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus, sent Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who naturally care for your state, but all seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Now, he's writing to the church, okay? So, take that for what he's saying. But ye know the proof of him, that it is Son with the Father. He has served me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also may come unto you shortly. Now, I'd like to say, Timotheus, a true servant. Notice some of the things he said about Timotheus here. He said, I had no man like-minded who naturally cared for your state. He said, I couldn't find nobody that cared about you. But I found Timotheus. And you know him. So, we know that Timotheus cared about them. Some have compassion making a difference. Timotheus was a man who cared, who had compassion. He was like-minded. We just looked also in chapter 2, said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So he had the mind of Christ. He was like-minded with Apostle Paul. Not only that, he had the mind of Christ, but also, notice this, you know the proof of him. Hey, look, he's proven it. He's proven himself. He's walked. His conversation. There, you have no doubt. You know him. Paul said, you know him. You know what I'm saying? That he's real. Look, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to kick anybody that feels this way, but I'm going to tell you something. When you know God and you're right with God, people will know it. That's what he said. You know the proof. The proof is in the pudding, they say. There wasn't nobody could say Timotheus, well, I hope he's saved. No, they knew he was saved. Amen. People ought to be able to know that we're saved too. Not hope as you say. I got some I've buried in the last while. I hope it. Sad, isn't it? Oh, man, when I go out to lay somebody down in the graveyard, I hope to know for sure. When you're laying a wife down or a child, I hope to know.
It's a proof of him. You know the proof of him. As a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to see him presently, so soon that I shall see how it will go with me. So, a true companion, a brother, no, a fellow soldier, and your messenger. Look here at Epaphroditus here, in verses 25 through 30. Yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, he that ministereth to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because you had heard that he had been sick. You know,
you get home during the week, and you've been away from the church, and you say, I can't wait. Church, I can't wait to get back, be around her brethren. I mean, how long now? You know, some brother or some sister somewhere just off maybe in a foreign field, and boy, you long after them. Just can't wait to see them again. You know, because you love them, you care about them, boy, you put prayer into them, your heart is knit with them. You love them. You love them. Well, I'm going to tell you, this fellow said, he longed after you. And you know why he longed after them? Because they had heard that he was sick. He was worried about them because they were worried about him. He didn't care about it. He wasn't worried about himself. He was worried. He was concerned about them. Because they was concerned about him. He wanted to get out there and let them know, hey, I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm all right. You know? He wanted to be a blessing. Now notice some things that said about this. Epaphroditus. This Epaphroditus, he was a brother. Again, see, Paul didn't have no doubt. He said, this is my brother. I know him in the Lord. I know him in the Lord. He had that close-knit union. He knew who he was. He was his brother. Not only did he know he was his brother, he said, he's a fellow soldier. You been in a fight this week?
You laid hold of the horns of the altar for God and been in the fight this week? Well, you get out there, after beating them doors, you're going to get in some fight. It's a battle. You're out there on the job. You try to shine the light for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be some warfare. It's going to be some battles. He was a fellow soldier.
He wasn't entangled with the things of this world. He wasn't concerned about this world. He was concerned with pleasing his commander-in-chief.
Amen. And being obedient to his marching orders. What he's told him to do.
What's God told you to do? Are you a true soldier? A fellow soldier? Ready in a moment? Are you a minute man for God? Ready to get to the thick of it? He's a fellow soldier. A true companion and a laborer. That's the kind of people that God is pointing out that can do what? What we just looked at, huh? Those that can hold out the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Amen? These are the kind of men that Paul's talking about. But when you put those things in you, you'll be like them. True fellow soldiers. True servants. Have a true witness. They'll know that you're real. God wants people to know that we're real. Not only that, about Epaphroditus, brother, companion, labor. Look at down at the end. Receive him therefore in 29. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. And to do what? To supply your lack of service toward me. I'd hate to think somebody was nigh death because of my lack of service. But that's what he said. He was nigh death because he had given himself. He had spent himself. He'd given it all. He had labored until the point where it liked to kill him. But he didn't regard his life.
He was there for Paul to minister, be a blessing, to help him. He knew the importance of supporting that man of God.
Or we need to ask ourselves. I've thought about this many times.
You remember the widow lady, and you remember the rich folks. They was tossing in, you know, their gold and their silver, and maybe hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars. I don't know. Then that little old widow lady come along. She gave 2 mites. I've often wondered, who are we like? Who am I like? Am I like the ones who give out of my plenty? Or am I one who's willing to give all? And she did.
This man was willing to give it all. He was nigh unto death. But God had mercy upon him and on Paul. Now look at chapter 3, begin verse 10. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Excuse me, chapter 3, verses 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh if any other man... I just added a word. I'll take that back. I said we, don't say that. To have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, and touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, to count them but dung, that I may win Christ, being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that's the only righteousness we have, by the way.
Amen.
And that's the only faith that we have, by the way. You can talk about your faith. The only faith you got is when you got Jesus Christ, He began to work in your life and you received faith in your heart and mind for the work that God has you to do. But it all started when Jesus Christ had the faith to die for you and to call you and put you in His body. It's all Him. Give Him all the glory. Give Him the praise. Praise Him for all He's done. Amen? He did it all. Glory to His name. Amen. Notice this. Okay. We rejoice in the Lord, knowing the Spirit is able to touch God, while the flesh is of no value. That's what we see in those verses. Note, right off the bat, he says, we rejoice, what? In the Lord. Our rejoicing is in the Lord. Hey, you can rejoice in the flesh. How empty is that? It's dead. It's rotting. This world revels in the flesh, but they can't rejoice in the Spirit. And the things that they have is fleeting for a moment of time. But we rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Because our rejoicing is everlasting. It's without end. It's in Christ. He's eternal. Boy, in 1984, I received the gift of eternal life, which is Jesus Christ. He's the eternal Son of God. And because of that, now I have everlasting life. And I can offer up praises unto God. How long? How long can I rejoice? How long is my joy? How long is my pleasures in God? As pleasures at His right hand forevermore. Boy, I'll tell you what. I don't know about you, man. I'd make a backslid Presbyterian shout all over the place. If you really get a hold and see that, what He has by being saved in God. I don't know why we're so tight-lipped. I don't know why we don't get excited. I don't know. You have to ask yourself that. I want God to loose my tongue and praise and worship and rejoice in Him. I tell you what, sometimes when you go out alone and pray, go somewhere out away from everybody else and just praise God, shout hallelujah for a little while. Amen? From your heart. See what happens. Rejoice in the Lord. We find no strength in the flesh. And we see what Paul said, all these things that before was everything to me. He said, now, he said, you know what I found out? Ain't nothing but a bunch of manure. Only thing they're good for is spread out on the ground and decay and rot and go back to the dust and supply food for the plant life. I'm serious. He said, it is dung, it is refuse. And I suffered a loss of all things and count them as dung, that I may win Christ. Being found in Him, notice this. I don't have my own righteousness, but I have the righteousness which is by Christ. It is through the faith of, not in Christ, the faith of Christ. Jesus knew that when He died on the cross, when they buried Him, He knew He was going to rise again.
He knew that he was going to gather up that blood and put it upon the mercy seat in heaven for us. He was going to save us. He knew it. He had that of God, you see. And he had the faith. Had he ever done it before? No. So he did it by what? By faith. It was something brand new. But he knew it was going to happen. Why? Well, he had it of God, his Father. Amen. He trusted him in every step. He was a man. He received it. It was his faith that put him on the cross.
It's his faith that saved me. It's his faith that keeps me. It's his faith that teaches me what I need to do. And when I read this Bible, faith cometh by hearing, and the Holy Spirit of God teaches of me, produces faith in my heart to do what God wants me to do, just like Jesus did the things his Father wanted him to do, which was die for us. Hey, we rejoice in the Lord, knowing the Spirit is able to touch God while the flesh is of no value. Now look here in verses 10 through 21. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but it's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. Now, brethren, be followers together of me, mark them which walk so, as to have us for an ensample, for many walk of whom I've told you often, how they, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, to whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that he may fashion like his glorious body, according to the working whereby is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, quickly, I'm going to look over these things. First, I'd like to say what we would know. Look at that in verses 10. I would know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and being made conformable unto his death. The things that I would know. That's what Paul said. This is what I want to know. This is what I want. That's what I want to know. I want to know about the fellowship of his suffering. I want to be a true Christian who sacrifices myself. I want to die, and I want God to take me all completely, wholly, and use me when he drains everything out of me. Christ only exists. I ain't reached that by a long shot. That's what I want. That's what Paul wanted. He's my apostle. He said, walk after me. Follow me. Amen. That's what I want. That's what I want. Amen. That I may know him. Hey, what we would know. What we would attain. What we would attain. If any by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. For as though I had not, though it I already attained, neither already perfect, but I follow after if that which I may apprehend of Christ Jesus, what I've been apprehended for. He's apprehended me to be made in the image and his likeness. And that's what we should attain. What we would attain. What we should forget. Look at there. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth in those things which are before. Forget all about your sins. Forget about your failures. When they come up to your mind, cast them down. Forget them and go on. Confess them to God, claim the blood, and go on. Amen? Forget those things which are behind. Man, we drag that junk around. People smell the stench of it. Forget it. Let it go. Boy, set your heart in affection.
up there. Forgetting those things and what we should mind. Hey, nevertheless, we have already attained. Let us walk in the same rule. Let us mind the same things in verse 16. And he said, mark them which walk. Ask for us for an example. Mark those that are walking right, but also mark those that are walking wrong, not to follow after them. Finally, what we should mind? Paul said, we are not perfect, but we are perfect. He said, not those I have attained or already perfect, but then he goes on to say, but to us which needs to be added. All you got to do is get rid of that old man. Keep digging and burying him deep. I like this good, I thought this was a good illustration of that. You see a tree that's reaching out big and healthy, guess what? It's dug deep. Just keep burying that old man. Dig deeper. Or let that old man dig him, bury him down. Bury him. Boy, that tree above producing fruit and boughs and limbs, you know, and shade and help and hope for others. Let that happen in our lives. Bury that sorry old rascal and go on. Forget those things which are behind. And look at this. And here's why. Verses 20. For our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation means behavior. You know, that's the way we live. That's not, it should be the way we speak, but it's also our behavior. Let that behavior be in you that pleases God, that can make a difference, that can hold out the word of life and be a help and make a difference for people in this world. Brother Park, you close us in prayer.
Yes. Please, Father. Oh, God. Move in our being.